Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
I like that Dave Murray forecast. It's okay that we're in the low 80s here in October. I'll accept that. Very comfortable at night. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It really is a beautiful day in St. Louis right now. Lots of sunshine, and we're getting moving here on a Tuesday edition of the show. The only bad thing about today is it's only Tuesday. I mean, we kind of all agreed with that, right? It's not Wednesday yet. Certainly not Thursday, and I can confirm that it's not Friday. But we're going to get people through, right? Sue, that is our mission
our
here.
Yes.
It is our goal. On this radio show, and there is quite a bit of stuff going on here this afternoon, including Trump awarding Charlie Kirk the Medal of Freedom, and we're going to perhaps dip into a little of that coverage. It's supposed to start here at 3 o'clock, and they're always late, right? They're always late for these things, so we'll see what happens. You guys keep your eyes peeled on the television monitors, if you will.
They're always late, and they always run longer than you think.
How'd you think the baseball game went last night? I like the Mariners outcome. I did not like the Cubs outcome, unfortunately.
The Cubs?
The Dodgers.
I'm sorry. Yeah. The Brewers and the Dodgers. I did not like that outcome as well.
Did you watch the entire game to the finish?
I didn't watch it to the finish. Why? Did they threaten
so,
at the end?
Oh, yeah. So the Dodgers added a run in the top of the ninth. They made it 2-0. And then in the bottom of the ninth, the Brewers scored a run. They loaded the bases with two outs.
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, I saw how it ended then.
And Sal Frelick was up 2-2 count, and a pitch is coming inside, and he does everything to get out of the way.
Should have gotten hit by the pitch.
Yeah.
He
gets
hit
but
by
it was
the pitch.
Just instincts. Yes, it's instincts.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Then he's on base, and the bases
pitch,
are loaded.
Or he strikes out swinging the next pitch.
The tying run would have come in on that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I did see that because you had your opportunity. But, you know, what are you going to do? Your body tells you,
exactly.
I do not want to get hit by a 100-mile fastball in my knee. But, yeah, if he could have just stayed in that position, that could have changed the whole dynamic of game one. Well, they go at it again tonight at Miller Park, and we'll see. You know, the important thing to do is get that split if you're the home team. So if they can get the split, then you go to L.A. and you see what you can accomplish. And the stupid Bears won last night. I wasn't a big fan of that at all.
God. What's the deal with the field goal kicker? He joined the team 7 hours early.
Yeah, well, Cairo Santos is out. And, you know, on an NFL roster in particular, you know, it's interesting. Like, Ethan, when we were at the Mizzou game the other day, you look at the sideline of a college football game, there are dozens of players, right? They're everywhere. The NFL is very, you know, the roster's
53.
Limited, obviously. And you don't have, you know, extra kickers and punters on the team usually. That's why they designate, you know, a quarterback or somebody who may have kicked at any point, like maybe in sixth grade, and they say that you're the backup. But yeah, that guy, I mean, it wasn't a chip shot, that's for sure, and he gets the game-winning field goal, and Jaden Daniels and the Commanders fall.
Went 4-for-5 last night, had a couple, I don't know if any were a 50-yard range, but some that were right under that, and cool story, this is a guy that was a third-round pick, went to the 49ers and was really good until he had an injury in his rookie year, and then was just lost from that point, was really struggled with accuracy. So a good story.
It is a good story. But he literally didn't even know he was going to play in that game until yesterday morning. Is that the case?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Sue, once again, thank you for asking about our fantasy football teams. I always appreciate that. But Ethan and I did not have the best weekend. I needed Luther Burden to have. Oh, you did. Okay. I needed Luther Burden just to score one touchdown last night. I had this feeling, and he was targeted. You know, Caleb Williams was throwing him the ball. They just couldn't get it in the end zone, and I lost my fantasy game. Both leagues I'm sucking in right now. But Sue, thank you for asking. Yeah. It's always something that's on the top
real
of her
quick,
mind.
I'm kind of panicking because, you know, while I'm working and, you know, doing a semi-normal job, all of my friends right now are blowing up our group chat because everyone's making all these crazy trades, and I'm kind of, you know, feeling left out that I'm not getting involved in this. So I guess we'll just have to see what happens.
We need to focus on this radio show first and foremost, and that's where I want your brain to be. Hey, Rocky Sickman's going to join us here in a few minutes.
Oh,
I love
good.
Rocky. We got a chance to know him over the years. He was held as a hostage in Iran for 444 days in 1979 through 1981. He is the former U.S. Marine. He's the director of Anheuser-Busch accounts for Folds of Honor, and he has some thoughts about, you know, the hostages just released from Gaza. Our friend Azra Namani is going to join us as well. You know, her thoughts on the Middle East peace deal, and Azra's never shy about her opinions. We have Jamie Reed in the next hour. Let me set this up just a little bit, because it was John Oliver who decided to rip Barry Weiss in a backhanded fashion, because when the FP got started, Barry leaves, you know, the New York Times, and then she starts putting out content on the FP. And one of the things that really made a lot of waves, it certainly caught our attention here because it was a local story, and that was Jamie Reed, the whistleblower at WashU Children's Hospital. And that turned out to be a much bigger deal than anyone ever thought. Barry, you know, thought that their coverage, and when they printed that opinion piece in particular, really made a difference because it started this chain reaction. There were people out there like Chris Elston, and we'd been talking to Chris, Billboard Chris, for years, who had already been on this mission, you know, when it comes to the trans nonsense that's going on out there. And then there's J.K. Rowling, who's been very active, but, you know, from a variety of standpoints. But Jamie comes out with a different level of authenticity because she's at that point identifying as queer. Now she says lesbian, and she has a trans partner, but she witnessed all these things that were coming through this clinic, and she decided to, you know, go public with it. Now, I think it's safe to say that our local paper, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, wasn't going to give her the time of day to print a piece like that. So she goes to the FP. I'm not even sure how that happened. But John Oliver, who gets the facts consistently wrong on this particular show, decides to pick on Jamie Reed and that piece in particular. And again, it was kind of a way to rip Barry Weiss for what she did at the FP.
She's been given editorial control of a massive news organization, even though she's never run a TV network, has no experience directing television coverage, and as one 60 Minutes producer pointed out, is not even a reporter. That is true. She didn't come up through the news side of a newspaper, but through the opinion pages, which are a very different thing. And I wouldn't want anyone who led a pure opinion outlet, not even one that I happen to agree with, to suddenly be running CBS News. But it is especially alarming to have someone doing it who has spent years putting out work that, in my opinion, is at best irresponsible and at worst deeply misleading.
So it's not irresponsible and it's not deeply misleading because it was the truth. And by the way, don't just believe what Jamie Reed had to say. There were stuff that came in from all over the world, including a lot of doctors who were on board with this stuff. And that's what happened with the Tavistock Clinic. So Jamie, I know, has things to say about this. But again, Oliver is ripping Jamie Reed, calling her out for nonsense, saying that, oh, and this is one of my favorite parts of his mantra. He's like, the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, the local paper, proved that these allegations were wrong. Well, they did nothing of the sort. They went to a father here in St. Louis who has a trans kid who's an established trans advocate and activist and spokesperson. You think you're going to get a real, this is what news people do. This is lazy journalism. They don't try to talk to real people. This is why I love Selena Zito. Selena goes across the country. She talks to real people, right? But they didn't make, there was no effort. Same thing happened with Alexis Zotos at Channel 4. She didn't make any effort to tell the real story of what was going on at Children's Hospital. Oh, they went to the trans activists immediately. That's their gut instinct. That's who they are, unfortunately. So Jamie's going to come on in the next hour and blow all that up. Thank God. This is kind of interesting because, and I played this yesterday, so let me play it again. Alyssa Farah, who I don't think we've ever had her on the air, right? She was in the early part of the Trump administration, I think, in the communications office. Then she found this gig on The View. Now, earlier this year, this is what she said, and this was going a little viral yesterday because she made this claim.
My point when I say I'm not going to be apocalyptic, it's not changing a tune. It's not making every single thing a five-alarm fire. Yeah. If he does good, if he gets the Israeli hostages out, I promise I will wear a MAGA hat for one day on the show and say thank
Please
you for
don't
doing
do that.
It. Yeah. I know, she'll knock it right off my head. But
Please
like, we can, you have to be able to cheer for wins when they happen and then call out relentlessly the wrongdoing. Well,
so, and I'll play you his response because Trump was asked about this today. I didn't pull this audio. I still might, but there's a great, you know, on Bill Maher's podcast, he does the thing that's on HBO, but he also does his podcast where he sits around, he smokes weed. I kind of like it, but he talks to people. He had Bill Macy on, and I'm curious to see if Bill Macy talked about the movie Soul on Fire. But they were sitting there talking during the podcast, basically saying what Alyssa was you know, referring to right there. In other words, look, at a certain point, and Fetterman's the best example of this. And by the way, I have no qualms at all with calling Trump out on things that I don't think are appropriate. But the flip side is, hey, when he does something that seems to be pretty remarkable here, and, you know, we're at the beginning stages, can you not give him a little credit? Even freaking Hillary Clinton gave him some credit. So Tony Blinken, you know, put it all on himself. But when it comes to Alyssa Farah, Trump, of course, can't help himself.
Alyssa Farah, she is one of the hosts on ABC's show The View. She said a while back, I'll quote, "If Trump gets the Israeli hostages out, I promise I will wear a MAGA hat for one day on this show and say thank you for doing it." Your response?
Well, did she put the hat on?
Well, she hasn't got the hat yet.
Who is it? Which one?
Alyssa Farah.
Well, she used to work for me.
Yeah.
She used to work here. I'll tell you about Alyssa. She worked here. She gave me the most beautiful letter when, you know, the administration, the time came up, the election was rigged, I left. She gave me the most beautiful letter you've ever seen. I was a great president. What a great job. Some of the letters been quoted. This is Alyssa, who I never thought was very outstanding. I figured she would not make it. And she didn't have a big role here either. And then she got hired by The View, and they gave her a couple of bucks, and she changed her view very quickly. I never thought she'd make it. Never thought she had what it took in any way. You know what that means. But she's on The View. But it just shows what a fraud The View is.
All right, you couldn't have come up. She didn't wear it today, right, Fred? We didn't get any indication.
I haven't seen it.
You couldn't, in 24 hours, when you knew that thing was going viral, come up with a hat that you could wear on the set of The View?
Of course you
Will
could.
She be allowed to do that? So then there's this. I like this, too. J.D. Vance is on with George. I still like to call him Snuffleupagus because that's what Limbaugh nicknamed him. That's one of the great nicknames, I think, of all time with Stephanopoulos.
I don't know what tape you're referring to, George. I saw media reports that Tom Homan accepted a bribe. There's no evidence of that. And here's, George, why fewer and fewer people watch your program and why you're losing credibility. Because you're talking for now 5 minutes with the Vice President of the United States about this story regarding Tom Homan, a story that I've read about, but I don't even know the video that you're talking about. Meanwhile, low-income women can't get food because the Democrats and Chuck Schumer have shut down the government.
So just as a little background, there is this story that's been out there for a couple of weeks. It's interesting because it really never went anywhere. There was this accusation that Tom Homan was caught on tape accepting $50,000. He denied it. Trump denied it. There's really been no proof, but Stephanopoulos wants to go down that route, and J.D. Vance is having none of it.
Right now, we're trying to figure out how to pay our troops because Chuck Schumer has shut down the government. You're focused on a bogus story. You're insinuating criminal wrongdoing against a guy who has done nothing wrong instead of focusing on the fact that our country is struggling because our government's shut down. Let's talk about the real issues, George. I think the American people would benefit much more from that than from you going down some weird left-wing rabbit hole where the facts clearly show that Tom Homan didn't engage in any criminal wrongdoing.
All right, so then this gets kind of awkward at the end here. So that's J.D. Vance and the answer to George.
It's not a weird left-wing rabbit hole. I didn't insinuate anything. I asked you whether Tom Homan accepted $50,000, as was heard on an audio tape recorded by the FBI in September 2024, and you did not answer the question. Thank you for your time this morning.
No, well, George, I said that I don't.
Up next, we'll be right back.
So he cuts off the vice president. Today, ABC tries to ask Trump a question.
Mr. President,
first of all, congratulations.
I don't take questions from ABC Fake News. After what you did with Stephanopoulos to the vice president of the United States, I don't take questions from ABC Fake News.
Wow. So there was an instant reaction to that. I had to get that on. We got Rocky Sickman coming up. Ozzer Nomani, a Tuesday edition of Sue's News. We have, you know, I like this guy. I've gotten to know this guy, Bill King, who ran for mayor of Houston. And he writes some very interesting opinion pieces. And I got to say, Bill does his homework. He's a super smart guy. He really is. And he wrote a piece about, and this was at Real Clear Politics, about the ACA subsidies and what the real issue there. And he broke down the numbers. This is the Obamacare, the whole dispute about the government shutdown, what the Democrats want to flip on the Republicans. But his approach to it in explaining the numbers are fascinating. And he keeps it real. So he's coming on in the 5 o'clock hour. Plus, of course, audio cut of the day.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
President Trump is going to award the Medal of Freedom, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, to Charlie Kirk posthumously, and that is going to go on here in a few minutes. We may join that. But, you know, we thought of our friend Rocky Sickman when these hostages were released. Rocky entered the Marine Corps in 1976. He was just 28 days into his tour of duty at the American Embassy in Tehran when the Iran hostage crisis started, and he spent 444 days in captivity before being released on January 20th of 1981. He joins us this afternoon. He's had a distinguished career ever since then and still plays a very important role in Folds of Honor. Rocky, how are you this afternoon? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk. Good to hook up with you again.
Mark, thank you so much for having me on the air, buddy.
This has to be another one of those moments, though, where you kind of, you know, have a bit of a different reflection and reaction to what's happening on the planet, isn't it?
You know what? Yesterday I sat there, took some time off in my busy day, and sat in the recliner, and I asked my wife, which a young girl that waited for me for 444 days, I said, Jill, was our situation like that? And she says, it was 100 times bigger. And more. And so it's still hard for me to understand, but I can tell you, for those individuals yesterday, when they stepped off that helicopter and when they were reunited with their family, it brought back so many wonderful memories. I mean, it was just incredible because, Mark, imagine, I mean, one of your children being held hostage. I mean, as my parents, it wasn't just the hostages. It was the families going through this. And so the happiness, and I mean, it brought tears to my eyes watching those people reunite, because for 444 days, we were 14 months. They were 24 months. But I tell you, one day, 10 days, long time, and you just want to be back with your family.
You know, with your story, the one thing that and I'm certain this is probably the case with the hostages in Gaza, they probably didn't have, you know, access to CNN and were watching the news every day. I don't know. Maybe there was more communication. But one of the stories that always kind of sticks out that you've shared is when you finally get back to St. Louis, you're overwhelmed because you had no idea that not only folks around here cared so much about you and your release and these hostages, but all across the country. And I've told you this, and I know you've heard this from lots of people. We all would open the newspaper in the morning and we'd see, you know, day 41, day 241, day 3, you know, whatever it was. And you were on the front page of the paper. The crisis was every single day, but you had no perspective of that.
Really, we did not. You know, as you come to find out, and I'm starting to hear stories and read stories like everybody else that's listening, is that these individuals were kept underground in tunnels. We were locked in rooms for 400 days. And so we had no information, had no idea that Ted Koppel, Nightline, was created to basically give the American people some tidbits each day of what was happening with the hostage crisis. So, yes, you're absolutely right. Had no idea that the world was reunited. And when I came home, I remember we lived in a small town of Krakow, population 50. It was dogs and cats included. We had a little St. Gertrude's grade school, and there, we had some nuns that were there at the school. And so they were responsible for going through the bags of mail that I was receiving from around the world. So these individuals are probably going to be doing the same thing of just, you know, happiness, cards of joy from people all over the world. And so it's one of those things, you know, these cards are wonderful, but what they went through, they will never forget it. As I, every time I hear the word hostage, it triggers. And I mean, it's one of those things that you live through, but you try to take it into a positive perspective. And that's where I use Folds of Honor to really help me day by day, Mark, to really continue on.
Yeah. And I want to return to that in just a second. Let me ask you one question about the, you know, if you go back to 1980, in the early 80s, even I would say even maybe even 10 years ago, mental health and that is not discussed as much. So were you offered, given, did you take advantage of psychological help in the aftermath of this? Or was that all sort of, you know, there was a stigma with that?
Oh, yeah. Good question.
Or did that happen? Because with these hostages, I mean, I can't even imagine. You asked me how I would feel if one of my kids, I can't even imagine getting through each and every day, you know, like your parents and your family did. But then thinking of the horrors that you had to deal with, you know, and coming back and trying to adjust to whatever could be a normal life.
No, you're absolutely right. And yes, when we came home, I was 23 when I came home, and I'll never forget meeting a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist said, there's two ways that you're going to be able to deal with this situation, or you're going to go in direction. There's one way you're going to keep it inside and never talk about it, but something's going to cause you to crack and break. And the other is you use this situation as a stepping stone, as how you build on your life and your future. And so it took me a while to really use it and to talk about the story, because I talk about the story of those eight individuals that lost their life trying to regain our freedom.
Yeah.
And so that is my way of how I give back in a positive sense. But again, it will never go away. The word hostage, Iran, and those days of captivity. And again, like you said, my poor parents, Mark, you saw the joy of these poor parents that were there, and they lived with that for 24 months, as my parents were 14 months, of just not knowing each and every day going to work. How would you be able to go on the air each day knowing that one of your children are held hostage?
I don't think I could. I know. I don't think I could. It's just horrifying parents, thinking about that.
Yeah, my parents went through that. And so thank goodness they're all home. And it looks like there is a start of peace in the Middle East, which is wonderful, because it's a beautiful country, and they deserve, the people that went better, they deserve it.
Well, let me just quickly close on the positive, and that's what you do with Folds of Honor. And this is a great organization that gives academic scholarships to the families of fallen or disabled military service members. You're still rocking and rolling on that, right, Rocky?
I am. I'm here in Chicago, in your own stomping ground, with Folds of Honor. And yes, it's an organization that it definitely it helps me each morning, as I tell you. I earn each day a memory of those eight individuals that gave their life. And it is one of those things, the guy that spent 400 days with me, Billy Gallegos, I speak to him every other day, but he knows how important this is. And, but yeah, life continues, and it's a little change of scenery at times when you have now grandchildren that are learning about you in history books.
Yeah, how about that? That's interesting. That's fascinating.
Kind of
right. Well, but, have a different existence. There's no doubt about that. But you're awesome, Rocky Sickman. You know I'm a huge fan. So thanks for coming on here and reflecting this afternoon. I really appreciate it.
It's my honor. And God bless America.
Thank you, Rocky. Thank you. Yeah, absolutely. God bless America.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, very excited to have Jamie Reed come on, the whistleblower from WashU's affirming care center that closed down. You had John Oliver taking some shots at her, really at Barry Weiss, but brought Jamie into the fray, and I know she has some reaction to that. So that's coming up in the next hour, right after Sue's News at 4:32. We are joined right now by Azra Nomani, senior fellow at the Independent Women's Network, the founder of the Pearl Network, and the author of Woke Army. Want to get your thoughts, Azra, on everything that's happening in the Middle East. How are you this afternoon?
I am really good. I've been watching the videos of reunification like so many people, and I'm just stirred in my heart.
Yeah, it's quite the, 48 hours, if you will. And I just had Rocky Sickman on the air, who was one of the hostages from the Iran hostage crisis many years ago. He spent 444 days in captivity. I mean, you're adding almost an entire year to some of these hostages. And I don't, you know, two things. I don't know how you survive all that time mentally and maybe physically, but then just trying to adjust. Your family's happy. You're glad you're out, but just trying to adjust after something that's that traumatic. And Rocky spoke to that a few minutes ago. It's just got to be horrifying.
Yeah, you know, I'm really honored to also have one of my projects that I work on, this initiative called the Israel Healing Initiative. A friend of mine, Orly Petter, started it. She's a psychologist and the daughter of a Holocaust survivor. So she's been doing trauma work for 30 years. And, you know, I met her because I wrote a piece about going down to Guantanamo, like the darkest place on this earth, to see literally the face of the man who killed my friend Danny Pearl in 2002. And I'm just taken back to all those moments because I know what it feels like when your loved one does not come back home. Because we got knock on the door back in 2002 and the Pakistani police were standing there with the FBI, and they told Danny Pearl's wife, Marianne, "I'm sorry, I couldn't bring your Danny home." And for folks who may not remember, Danny was a reporter for the Wall Street Journal. And I'm just, I'm so glad that you had the former hostage from the Iranian, crisis speak, because this is a long battle. Like, that's what I want people to know. And this trauma is so deeply embedded. Orly, has been working for the last 2 years on helping survivors smile again. And I've watched her work and I've supported it. And she has helped me, because the first thing that happens is this is like tragedy that is so unfathomable to our human mind that the healthiest thing we can do is dissociate, cut it off a little bit, you know? And I'm so sorry for talking for so long.
No, you're always great at talking. But, I saw that one of the posts that you had about the Israeli Healing Initiative is this guy who, had to witness his girlfriend being executed, and then he committed suicide because of that.
Yes, and that's such a reality of it's called survivor's guilt. And I had it. I came out of Pakistan. I thought, what did I do wrong? Like, what did I not tell Danny? I had tried to teach him every bad word in Hindi language, so he could walk the streets and speak. And I didn't teach him certain words that I thought could have given him the clue that the guy that kidnapped him was a bad guy. And it is a torment. It is truly a torment. And people will resonate with this on so many levels, because it can be that you survived childhood abuse. You were the sibling that your parent didn't beat up. You survived a car crash and somebody else died. This is the deep, invisible wounds. And this is the deep, invisible war that, why are we talking? Why are you talking to me? Because for 20 years, I've fought the Islamic extremists that are terrorizing our world. And I thank you so much for always giving me voice, thinking of me, as a person out there in the wilderness who might help bring some insight, because over these two decades, you're right, I have gone into the darkest places, and yet, like everybody, always looking for the light, and that's what we have to do. And I hope, you know, and I just want to tell everyone, too, as you're watching these videos and you're absorbing all of this violence, Charlie Kirk is being memorialized right now as we speak. You know, that's a beautiful day. I see the white chairs and the orange cushions, you know, brightness in the sunlight. And that's what I encourage everyone to work towards, you know, in your own lives, because you are absorbing it, too, whether or not you are a firsthand witness to these tragedies.
By the way, if you scroll down on Azra's Twitter page, and I remember seeing this a couple of days ago, you had a great picture. I guess Danny Pearl would have turned 62 the other day, and you have this picture from 1995, a young, sassy Azra Nomani with Daniel Pearl on a rooftop in D.C. I love that picture. It speaks volumes.
Speaks volumes. Danny was wearing mismatched clothes, his hair was a little long, and yet he was a great guy. I was a young, I was my 30th birthday, and as a Muslim feminist, I had always still absorbed, you know, the shame of, you know, don't show your arms, you know, it's un-Islamic, da-da-da. I wore this awesome fuchsia, you know, tank top type of gown, and we just had a great time. Like, it was just friendship expressed, and that's what I learned coming out of Guantanamo. That's what Orly helped me also live, is that we must live, you know, in the memory of all of those that have passed away, and do just like what you do, Mark, you know, just like what we all do, is try to make the world a better place, bring truth, you know, speak truth to power, expose the injustices. And you do it every day. And I'm just always so happy to speak to you, because I can feel that in your efforts every time I talk to you.
Well, that means a lot to me, Azra, because, you know, I'm a fan. I'm going to let you go because it looks like this ceremony is going to start. We're going to try to air some of this. But thanks for reflecting this afternoon. You always know I appreciate it.
I love it, and I wish well to everyone.
Well, I see a little Tay-Tay in the Suze News folder for today, so I'm interested in that. And by the way, it's a song that my daughter cannot stop singing around the house.
She's not alone.
I know. It's related to the new record. So President Trump, he's weaving just a little bit, but he's awarding the Congressional Medal of Freedom to Charlie Kirk posthumously. There's a big ceremony at the Rose Garden. I don't know if I'm assuming Erica will go up there and accept and maybe have some words, but we'll flip that audio back around. These events tend to take a little while, especially when President Trump starts to weave, and he's weaving a little bit. I think about this almost every day. I don't know how the guy does it. Every time I look at Fox, he's got another event coming up.
Yes.
I don't know how he sleeps. You know that let's put this into perspective, okay? So the amount of travel that he's had just in the last few days.
Oh, you're right.
Joe Biden came back and couldn't find his way back to the, you know, the group of people.
Yes.
And it was blamed on, you know, Ambien and a lot of travel. Well, Trump's not showing anything.
No.
That I don't think they can stop him from
it really
doing
is
stuff
it's
like
remarkable
this. Yeah, I mean it you know, that in and of itself is really incredible. But we're going to talk with Jamie Reed, and she just tweeted this out. She's excited, I think, to defend herself. She was the whistleblower from the so-called gender affirming care center at WashU and Children's Hospital. She's now the executive director of LGB Courage Coalition, which is a nonprofit dedicated to advocating for the reform of pediatric gender medicine. John Oliver goes on his show and rips Jamie. He was trying to really rip Barry Weiss for, you know, her not being a responsible journalist, even though she's literally one of the only people out there interested in doing actual journalism. And this story that Jamie wrote, the original opinion piece, it was in the Free Press, and it made a difference, and it made an impact, and it kind of fell in line with a lot of other things that were happening across the planet with gender-affirming care, and the narrative of all that blew up, and in large part to Jamie. John Oliver's trying to say, oh, the evidence shows differently. The evidence is overwhelming. It's not even debatable. So Jamie's coming up at 4:30.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.